So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking climate and weather today with our weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, and a guy that knows a lot about the weather as well, Jim Packer, joins us. Jim?
Larry, I know enough to stick up my finger and see which way the wind is blowing, and that's about as far as it goes, if you really want to know. But I do rely on information such as this book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate, by Joe Moran and Ed Hopkins, that we're offering for your membership at Wisconsin Public Radio this morning at 800-383-9772. And when you pledge $150, we'll be happy to send along a copy of Wisconsin's Weather and Climate. Larry, we've got an $8,000 goal in this hour, so we want to get off on the right foot, and I know that weather is one of the favorite topics of all of the programs that we do.
Well, I tell you what, Steve Ackerman and John Martin have come by on the last Monday of every month for of quite some time now, and we always get lots of calls. We already have callers online to visit with them. We cover a broad range of weather, both weather and climate issues with them. And it's the rare question that they don't have an answer for. And so if you enjoy the kind of programming that John Martin and Steve Ackerman and all the other regular guests that we have bring to us here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I hope you'll call in with a contribution. And when you do, you're going to be supporting Steve Ackerman and John Martin and Conversations with Larry Mueller, myself and Jim Packard here. We spend a lot of time putting our programs together. We come up, I think, with topics that are useful for you, things that you can use in your day-to-day living to maybe save you some money or make you a little healthier or just for fun.
Indeed.
Just for fun.
So if you also want some fun, you could pledge $1,200,
$100
a month.
Fun.
And be eligible to have two seats on the Cruise of Ideas with Larry, Gene Faraca, Joy Cardine. It's coming up on Lake Monona in Madison on the 30th of June. You have lunch on the boat, reception at Larry's home afterward on the deck with Renee making some of her scrumptious desserts. And it's a great time. I know there will be a quiz involved and prizes for people who come up with correct answers. And that's available when you make your phone call this morning at 800-383-9772 or when you go online at WPR.org and pledge there.
And that cruise will be a lot of fun. We did this last year and really had a great time on the cruise. There were lots of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. We have actually about 50 people, I think, that'll fit on the boat. So That's what we've got, about 25 pairs of tickets.
Some of them are gone.
Some of them are already gone. And I hope that you will join us. $1,200, that's $100 a month. We'll be cruising the lake. There will be no one probably who will go away without at least one gift. Your tummy will be full. You'll have some great desserts. Renee is already thinking about what she wants to make. She'll usually have three or four different desserts. Hopefully we'll have great weather and we'll sit outside and we will enjoy that day very, very much. And it's the same weekend as the Rhythm and Booms the fireworks display for Rhythm and Booms. And I know in the past people have come and then stayed overnight and gone to the Rhythm and Booms. And I tell you what, you can then use your member benefit card while you're here in town because that you won't have to use it on Saturday, believe me, afternoon, because you will be plenty full by then. But for that $1,200 contribution, of course, you also get the member benefit card, which gives you two-for-one dining across the state and certainly many, many restaurants in Madison as well. So that's another sort of inducement for you to contribute at that $1,200 level. But you may decide, I can't go on the cruise, I can't do that, but I would like to get a copy of that Wisconsin's Weather Climate book from Joe Moran and Ed Hopkins. And for a $150 contribution, we'll send you a copy of that book. And we will also send you the member benefit card. And believe me, if you use that card at all, you'll cover the entire cost. Give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We've got our first contribution, Jim.
Excellent. And that book is written by Joe Moran, who's the Barbara Huxhorst Coffrin Professor of Natural Sciences and is Chair of the Department of Earth Sciences at the UW-Green Bay and Assistant Director of the American Meteorological Society's Educational Program. Ed Hopkins is the Assistant State Climatologist, and he teaches in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the UW-Madison. He served as the Principal Investigator for the Earth Lab Project, and both have published widely on meteorology, climatology, and meteorology education. And this book is available, as we say, for a pledge of $150. You can do that on electronic funds transfer. There are options available to you, and those are part of the questions that we'll put to you when you call with your pledge at 800-383-9772. Or if you go online, you just go to WPR.org and make your pledge there.
And we have more and more people who are going online, and that's a great thing for us because it helps our, it's less, costs us less money to process. And so that makes your dollars go a little bit further, and that's a good thing from both of our perspectives, as a matter of fact. So if you can use the WPR.org and go online to that, that would be wonderful. It'll give you some time to think about how much you want to contribute. Maybe you'll say, well, I can contribute $125. Well, I might as well make it $150, and I'll get the weather book as well, Wisconsin's weather and climate book as well. Or maybe you'll say, heck, why not just go go the whole hog and go for $1,200 and join Larry and Gene and
Joy.
Joy. I wanted to say Jay.
Yeah,
why did Jay come to my mind?
Joy. I'm thinking about Jay in the gym, and Jim's not going to be able to be with you. He'll be in Green Lake enjoying himself on that lake there while you'll be on Lake Mendota. And having a great time. I really hate to miss this because I know what fun it has been to be part of your parties at your house for these many years. And if you'd like some of that excitement and some of that willingness to share fun at Larry's house, then give us a call with your pledge of $1,200 at 800-383-9772 or go online at WPR.org.
And don't forget, the book comes along. If you contribute at the book level, the $150 level, you'll also get that member benefit card. And you can join many other people who've called in with contributions this morning. Angela and Lafarge and Marjorie and Wausau and Kelly and Madison have called in with contributions. How about you now at 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org. It's a simple concept. You listen and enjoy the program. Listeners, support this service. We want you to call in now with your donation. And believe me, any amount is welcome. We don't care how much you contribute here, only that you do contribute. And one of our callers who called in is a new contributor for the first time. That's how we all started at one point or another. I started out as a new contributor, and I contributed, I don't remember, it was a smaller amount, and then things grew over time, and now I'm a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, which is goes to anyone who contributes over $500 during the course of the year. You become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, and of course, if you contribute at the $1,200 level, you're automatically a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle as well. But maybe you can afford a $500 contribution. If you can, we hope you'll call in with that contribution right now at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
Larry, our goal of $8,000 is what we are charged with raising in this hour. And so I want you to know that these goals are not picked out of the hat. They're based upon what we have done in the past, counter that against what we need to raise in order to make our operating budget, because your calls make up at least 30% of the operating budget, and it's the most important source of income that we have. So that's why we're coming to you now, and we're asking for your financial support. Join Wisconsin Public Radio Association. If you join at the $120 level, of course, you're entitled to the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card, which entitles you to two-for-one dining benefits and two-for-one admission at various arts and attractions, including the Madison Ballet, the Children's Museum, the Museum of Contemporary Art, Madison Opera, Madison Symphony. That's just in Madison. Then you look at Brookfield and Elm Grove and Milwaukee and Racine and Sheboygan. You'll also find admissions there and in the northeastern part of the state, the Peninsula Music Festival, the Green Bay Botanical Garden, the EAA Air Venture Museum. Those are a few of the attractions that are included in this card. So you can see it's a statewide card with more than 250 restaurants around the state included, and it's yours with a pledge of $120 at 800-383-9772.
Your call makes a difference. You make a big difference when you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. As Jim said, 30% of our operating expenses are now coming from you, people like you. And if you haven't contributed yet, I hope you'll contribute. If you've never contributed, you can start small if you want to. That's just fine. Start small and work your way up over the years. That would be wonderful. But whatever, wherever you are, if you're a longtime listener and a longtime contributor, we hope you'll call in now. If you've never contributed before, I think it's about, what is it, 1 in 10 or so?
About 1 in 10, and the average pledge has risen from the time when it was maybe $20 when you started, Larry, or more.
It was about $5 when I was.
To about $120 now is the average pledge. So if you're looking for the average as a place to begin, then why not include that? Or at the $150 level, send a book.
Or at the $1,200 level, and we'll send you on the cruise.
And you could read the book.
And you could read the book right on the cruise. 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. And I'm going to talk now with Professor Steve Ackerman, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison. And John Martin will be joining us a little bit later on. But Steve, nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here on a nice wintry day.
Across Wisconsin. I'm telling you, it was some weekend for a lot of people here in Wisconsin. I know in some parts of the state there were over 20 inches of snow.
Yeah, I mean, the southern part and central part got a lot of snow, you know, over 3 days. I mean, we haven't seen this in a while. It's been, I had to do my driveway twice. I should have done it three times, but I got tired.
I did the three-time routine.
You did? Oh, yeah.
I was a Friday night. I did the, there was a little bit Friday night, I think. I had to be at the radio station here early in the, by 6:30 in the morning on Saturday. So I got up at 5 then, and I did it again. And then I think on yesterday, of course, I had to do another batch. So...
yeah, me and Ann got out, and it actually was like a neighborhood party. Everybody was out helping everybody on all Saturday morning. Took about 2 hours, and then Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening, I was like, forget this.
This is too much.
Right, I could drive over this.
Well, I'll tell you what, Anton in Madison is online, been waiting a while. Anton, thank you very much for calling. Hi.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, Anton.
I wanted to bring up an interesting question that I've asked my father, who's a meteorologist at Sullivan, many times, and he's just passed it off and laughed and said he doesn't know. And I figured I'd pose it to you. The question is, people have measured temperatures in and around major metros, major cities, to be several degrees warmer than surrounding areas. And my curiosity is, does this have any effect or bearing on local weather patterns or lower atmospheric behavior, mesoscale kind of stuff at all? Is there any research on that you maybe you're aware of?
There's been several research studies that suggest the following. And I say suggest because I'm not sure that they've completely proven it without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And that's the following. One is related to circulations around these cities, which we call urban heat islands, because they get hot. And because they get hotter, the air rises. And so that brings air from the rural areas into the city. So you end up getting uplift in the city, which would increase your cloudiness. So you might have more cloudiness over the cities than you would in the surrounding areas.
Oh.
Now, the other thing that people have looked at is once these clouds form, then they move downwind. And then coupled with enhanced pollutions that are often also associated with cities. That's the other bad part. is that sometimes you get, there's indication that you may get increased precipitation downwind depending on the precipitation, because there's some recent evidence that shows that you may actually get decreased precipitation downwind of the cities, because the pollution makes the particles smaller in the cloud, so it takes them longer to get to precipitation size and fall out of the cloud. So there has been some research looking at these secondary effects. Usually look at least the studies I'm aware of are looking at the cloud formation over the cities and then downwind precipitation patterns downwind of the cities.
Yeah. Sure. If you were to suggest authors or names to research further, who would come to mind?
The guy's name is escaping me now. The guy who is going to come to me, he's in Israel. Danny, I'm going to think about it, and then in the middle of the show today, I'll just say Danny Rosenfeld. Danny Rosenfeld. He's the one who looked at recent satellite measurements, which suggests that downwind of urban areas, you may have a decrease in precipitation patterns.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, guys. I'll listen further.
All right. Thanks, Anton. Appreciate your call. You can join us as well, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking climate and weather right now with Professor Steve Ackerman, director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at UW-Madison. Glad to have him along. And happy to have you listening in. If you have a question for Steve, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And let's go to Dennis next in Blanchardville. Dennis, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great.
I just have a question, first an observation and then a question. I've been an amateur astronomer for about 50 years here in Wisconsin. And so I'm an amateur astronomer by night and a farmer by the daytime.
Okay.
So I see weather basically 24/7, 365 days a year.
So you're a weather person, too.
and of course, I stay out typically all night, even in the winter times, cold as it can get, with wind chills and everything. The only thing that limits me with my observations in the winter time, and that is if it gets too windy and extreme, then I just can't hold the scope in place, basically. But anyway, this is what I've noticed over the last 50 years. About 30 years ago, I would say roughly, I started noticing a trend where at night it could clear up, or could be clear, start out as clear, then it would cloud up, so meaning clear that there was no visible clouds at all in the sky, and then completely clouded over so that there was no stars, period, visible with the naked eye. And it would start doing this, maybe 2, 3, maybe up to 4 times a night. And then over the last about 30 years, I've been seeing this changing. And it's gotten to the point now where some nights I can go out and it will clear up from completely clear to completely cloudy as many as 15 times in one night. This is over from like 6:30 in the evening until like 6 o'clock in the morning, because I typically will stay out all night long. And I'm just wondering, is there any explanation for this other than global climate change?
And is this at any particular season, or?
It happens more so in the winter months, but it's more and more prevalent throughout the entire year. I mean, whether it's spring, summer, or fall, it's occurring, but the winter months is the most pronounced.
That would make sense to me that the winter months would be more pronounced, particularly during the summertime, because in the summertime, the diurnal or 24-hour changes in cloud amount would usually be associated with convection.
Right.
But to me, it sounds like what you're describing is like there's a cloud pattern. You can imagine it like rows of clouds that would be moving in time, and then, when you're between the cloud rows, it's clear, and then the cloud comes over and it gets cloudy.
But I don't know. It's just so many times, and like I say, this is a situation where it's almost like the clouds are forming directly over one, and then they dissipate as the cold air, drops as the night goes, and it drops through layers of of moisture. It's almost like the clouds form, then it drops through that point, and then it just completely clears. It can completely clear and cloudy within 5 minutes' time.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you up in a plateau or anything, or is it all pretty flat?
Yeah, we're about the highest point around down here in the area. And, but there's no evidence that this is frontal activity, that it's moving from west to east or whichever directions the clouds are moving, according to, a frontal activity. It's like it's a stationary situation that it just keeps.
So they just form and go away and then form
and
then
go away.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a question for John.
Well, stay listening, Dennis. When John gets here, we'll ask him that question. Let's try to remember that.
Right.
We'll remember to ask that question. Thanks for calling. We'll see what we can come up with. Denise and McFarland will give you a chance now. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I have a medical condition that consistently worsens in the summer, and my physician has speculated that it's a difference in barometric pressure, or that it's a barometric pressure effect. And I've tried keeping track of barometric pressures and looking on the web and so forth, and I can't really find any clear information about it. And I was just wondering, generally speaking, do barometric pressures rise or fall during the summer here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, if it would be my guess, if it was barometric pressure, I would have guessed that you'd feel it more in the wintertime, in the springtime.
Why is that?
Because that's when we have big changes in pressure going through. And our bodies are usually sensitive to changes in pressures.
So the big changes occur in the winter more?
Yeah, right, exactly. And you can get high pressure in both the summertime and the wintertime. So some of our real cold periods in wintertime are associated with high pressures, as well as some of our really muggy summertime days as well.
I see.
So if you've been tracking and you haven't noticed anything, then with regard to pressure, I try tracking humidity, because that's something that changes a lot during the summertime for us, where we get really humid days and really non-humid days.
Sure. I guess from other data, it's an inner ear thing, and pressures usually have an impact. You're the first person I've known what happens to the pressures this season. So I thank you very much for the information.
Thanks a lot for calling, Denise. Appreciate your call. And if you have a question for Steve Ackerman, our weather guy here, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. We've got plenty of open lines here. And call in, and we'll get your question answered, or at least we'll consider it, won't we?
Yeah, we will. We'll give an answer.
We'll try and figure it out. Well, how do we figure out this weather over the last few days in Wisconsin?
Actually, it was really interesting because, the weather forecasting group people, I don't consider myself a weather forecaster, so as I would like to, they were on top of the storm pretty far out, up to 5-6 days ahead advance. They were warning that this thing was going to be coming. Now, they missed it a little bit on Friday night. I mean, they could have given us a little bit of warming on Friday night. But in general, this is one of those cases where people should remember that the weather forecasters are pretty good. We generally trash them and say how bad they are, particularly with precipitation. But they were warning us a good week in advance that this thing may be coming on the weekend. So.
And where did all the moisture come from?
Up from the Gulf region. So the storm came out of the panhandle of Oklahoma, the Wheatley side of the Rockies, and it sucks up all that Gulf moisture and just pushes it right
pulls
up.
Pulls it right on up to us.
And makes very heavy snow.
And off again to the East Coast.
Yeah, so last I looked this morning, it was kind of stuck over Lake Michigan. So again, we got some light precipitation going on and off across the state today as that thing just slowly moves eastward to the northeast. Yeah, so I called up my family, who's from the northeast, and told them, get ready, it's coming.
here it comes. And you wonder how people in some parts of New York, if I'm not mistaken, we like 10 feet of snow.
Yeah, they already got a lot of the snowfall from the Great Lake effects.
As a guy from the born and raised in the country, I'm thinking about farmers and how farmers... How do you milk cows and do the things that you have to get rid of manure and do the things that you have to do when you're...
Yeah, when you got it right.
You got to deal with. Oh, man. Dan and Racine, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm on the road here, so you might lose me. One thing I wanted to mention was we talked about clouds forming over the city and all the fossil fuel that's burned, including the aircraft taking off, like over Milwaukee. If that wouldn't add from the water vapor to the climate in the city or increasing the cloud formation.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, it's kind of what we call a secondary feedback. So you get the urban, you know, just because of the structures of the buildings and the cutoff of evaporation because you have concrete instead of plants, you end up with a warmer area. And then to that, if that increases the cloudiness or if you have pollution, that's going to affect the cloudiness as well. And then, of course, that's going to tend to decrease the temperature, at least during the daytime, because it's going to reflect out the solar energy. So, yeah, it's kind of what we call the feedback effect, where things can do either offset one another or enhance it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Pete in Racine. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Say, follow up on a question from the lady earlier about barometric pressure and humidity. Is there any place on the web that one could look up to try and track both of those over time instead of trying to record it daily?
Yeah, and in Racine, I'm sure there's a weather station up there. I can't think of the name of where it is located, though. But generally, they post this on the Internet. But now as I'm saying that...
you're slowing down.
Right, I'm slowing down because I'm thinking it depends on who posts it. You know, so like in Madison here, the Space Science and Engineering Center makes some observations, and you can go back and get any of the data that they have and plot it right there or download it or whatever.
Okay.
But sometimes some of the cities don't go back that far.
About nationally? Is there...
You can go to the National Center for Data, the NCDC, the National Climate Data Center. But sometimes you have to pay for that. That's not good. If you want a lot of it. I'd contact the local National Weather Service in your area. I think there's one in Eau Claire or in La Crosse.
He's in Racine.
I'm sorry. That's right.
So
Racine. Yeah, that's right.
Southeast.
Yeah, so you'd probably want to contact Sullivan. Yeah,
Sullivan.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yes, I know that they do it routinely, but you want to like go back, you know, 5 days ago and see what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Try to put together, you know, your own scale on a map or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for calling. David in Madison, your turn. Hi, David.
Hello. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
I was just calling because I'm a fairly avid tornado chaser, and I recently moved up from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a lot of the websites or radio stations are very helpful for tornado chasers and leading them to where tornadoes are at, and I've noticed that here in Wisconsin, I guess because tornadoes are a little less prevalent, the sites that you can get information for the whereabouts of tornadoes are a little less helpful. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you had any information about maybe particularly good radio stations to listen to or particularly good websites to find out where tornadoes might be.
Yeah, I'm thinking that in terms of websites, it really depends on where the tornado is occurring. You know, so if it's in the Madison vicinity, the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences and the Space Science and Engineering Center both track them pretty nicely. But the other thing I'd recommend is contacting the Sullivan, the National Weather Service station out there, and become a spotter if you're not already a spotter. And, you know, get hooked into that network, and they'll be able to tell you where the best sites are. Are you a spotter? Are you a trained spotter?
I am not a trained spotter, but I have taken the classes that are offered. They offer just training classes for spotters, but I'm not actually hooked up with any kind of news network or anything like that.
Also, the Sullivan office also has a, you know, in addition to the spotters, they also have, I forget what they call them, but if you spot storms, you can email in where they're occurring and what the damage is going on. And so if you get part of that group listserv as well, you can, you know, keep up to date on where things are going.
Okay. Just by any chance, you wouldn't happen to know if there are any maybe organizations that go out and track storms?
Not...
Or if any news networks actually, have interns that can go out and track storms with maybe news networks or anything?
Yeah, no, the ones that I'm familiar with are usually groups of students. And, you know, as you pointed out, we get so much fewer in comparison to Oklahoma. That I think if we got if people really tried to get organized, we probably wouldn't have any tornadoes that year. Then it would fall apart.
Well, have you been able to chase after some a time or two, David?
Yes, I have. The most recent one, since the season kind of trailed off this summer after about mid-July, the last one that I was able to chase was in Dodgeville. It was on July 6th this past summer.
Right. Yeah.
And there were actually a couple of them over there. So I was chasing them over there, and I got some video of them. But that was my last one.
Okay.
Okay. And then when you chase, do you bring, you know, phones with you to look it up on the internet where things are occurring?
Usually, before I head out, I will call a friend who is next to a computer and have them look at National Weather Service website and try and calculate where the storm might be, or give me some updates on where National Weather Service is predicting the storm will go.
Huh, okay.
And then I'll also try and tap into local radio stations that will have local spotters out there. So they'll give me like a precise maybe street location and say the tornado is at this street right now, and you know, it's heading in this direction at this speed.
Huh. Yeah, there's a website too for cell phones. Russ Dengel at Space Science Engineering Center puts it together, that puts radars out for southern Wisconsin that probably help track it once you're out there, at least find a big picture of where things are going on.
Interesting. Well, David, good luck with your chasing. I usually try to go the other direction.
I do, too.
I don't want to be around one. Oh, man. Let's go to and we'll have some more information. There is something called Storm Chasers of Wisconsin.
That's the name I was thinking of that Weather Service helps organize.
So you could go to Storm Chasers of Wisconsin and probably .org or something. No, just Storm Chasers of Wisconsin, and you'll get some more help there, David. Thanks. And Tom in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Excuse me. As I get older, the summers seem to be hotter, and the heat kind of bothers me. And I live in Fond du Lac, which tends to be kind of hot and muggy. And I'm just wondering if this is just idiosyncratic to me or as a function of getting older, or is my observation valid? I know we have global warming, but that's kind of minuscule compared to what I seem to be experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, there is warming that is occurring, but you're right in the sense that while 1 degree is a lot on a global mean, you know, in terms of what our bodies get used to, particularly slow changes, it doesn't sound like it would be that much. So I wonder if it is.
It may be a function of age.
Yeah, I know I really hate muggy winter weather now as well, too. And I grew up on Long Island, which it is relatively muggy.
Well, I have a friend who's... Now he's a little older. He's older than I am, and his wife was always cold, and he was always too hot. And now, as they've aged, she's it's gone the other way. He's cold, and she's hot. So, I think that may be a function of age.
And I think also if we get used to air conditioning too, you know, we didn't have a lot of air conditioning when we were younger. I mean, I can remember the first store that had air conditioning. So it wasn't big when I was growing up, but now it's everywhere. So I wonder if we just get used to the air conditioning and can't end the hot
weather.
That
could well be. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call for you to join in, or in Madison at 263-1890. Michelle in Hixton, I believe, is up next. Michelle, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have had a question for many years, and my husband doesn't seem to have the answer, so I thought I'd call you this morning. The question is, when the storm clouds come in from the west, why does the wind blow out of the east?
No wonder your husband doesn't
have
the answer.
Because it answered, yeah. what time of year are you talking about?
Well, this storm we just had this weekend, and I've noticed it too, like in the, you know, spring and summer when it's raining and stuff, it seems like we live in the country on top of a hill. It's very noticeable. You watch the television and the clouds and the storms are coming over from Minnesota. I live in western Wisconsin. And the wind is coming straight out of the east, like 30 miles an hour.
No, actually, that's a really good observation, because what's happening is that with these storm systems, fronts are approaching us. And generally, whether it's a warm front or a cold front, the wind is going to be coming from the northeast to the southeast. So the winds are going to be easterly. But the fronts are going to be, so that's as the fronts are to the west and approaching us. Generally, those winds are going to be from the southeast or the northeast, depending if it's a cold front or a warm front. Because as those clouds are coming, they're coming with a low pressure system. And in the low pressure system, the winds are blowing counterclockwise. Generally, they are coming from the easterly direction. Although you can see the clouds approaching you from the west, because that's where the main storm action is. So actually, that's a very good observation. And if you would have made that, you know, maybe 100 years ago, you'd be famous. Because this is what people did. You know, they looked at the cloud patterns and associated with the winds, and that's how they came up with the first conceptual models of these frontal systems.
It would be the Michelle wind pattern.
It would be the Michelle wind pattern. That's right. You would have...
I noticed it more pronounced since I, you know, lived about 10 years outside of the state and then moved back, and then it became like, well, why is that? You know, I guess I grew up taking it for granted, and now it's like very noticeable.
Yeah. And so I should also emphasize that that's the winds at the surface. So the winds up high are generally going from west to east. And they're kind of, you know, pulling the systems along as they move along.
So the wind isn't blowing all in one direction if
That's
you look
right.
straight up a couple miles.
Right, yeah. You'll actually notice that the clouds are probably, well, the wind is blowing from the west to the east. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was hoping those 30-mile-an-hour easterly winds would have blowed the storm back to Minnesota, but it didn't.
Yeah, no, usually that's feeding moisture into the storm is the bad part.
Thanks for calling, Michelle. Wanda and Stevens Point. Hi, Wanda.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let the people that were interested in knowing where to find the barometric pressure as a pilot, if they just go to their local airport and or call up for the local flight instructors, we have to know that information, and so it's readily available. And they can give them ideas or can give them website addresses where to find. You can get the whole month and just print it out. So just wanted to pass that on.
Oh, that's a great resource. Yeah, I forgot about, you know, the importance of pressure to pilots. Well, weather to pilots is pretty important.
Very much so.
Yeah.
You know, when I was I worked for a little bit of time in Puerto Cabezas, Nicaragua. And there were the little community there, and they had a little radio station, and they didn't have any funds, but there was a plane or two came in every day, and my advice to them for the weather forecast was to go down and ask the pilots came in.
Yep.
And they did that.
Yeah, weather's pretty critical for pilots.
Yeah, you can get the information on the phone, but each place would be different. And if you would call your local airport, they'll let you know that information.
Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you very much.
Happy flying. Thank you very much for calling. Steve Ackerman, excuse me. Steve Ackerman, professor and director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies, our guest. John Martin will be joining us a little later on, chairs the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking climate and weather today with Steve Ackerman, professor and director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies, and Jim Packer joining us as well for a little brief stint. And Jim, we've got a goal of $8,000, and we've raised our first $325, so we've got $7,675 to go here to make our goal for this hour.
We need high pressure. We need high pressure, that feeling of wellness to come in and inspire you to make your phone call with your pledge of support at 800-383-9772. Or go to WPR.org. It's very secure, it's safe, and you can take care of things, your business right there. But what we're offering today is when you call and pledge $150 to Larry's show, we'll send along Joe Moran's and Ed Hopkins' book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate. It examines the physical features of the state that shape the climate of the state. It takes you through the seasonal changes in Wisconsin weather. You have an overview of what past climate changes might tell us about the future. It's written for weather buffs, teachers, pilots, students, outdoor enthusiasts, anyone working in fields, lakes, forests, or in the air, or for anyone for whom the weather is a daily force to be reckoned with. It's a great book, and I know that Steve has a couple of copies of this.
Yeah, I do. I have a copy at home and a copy at work. I mean, it's a really good resource for understanding what's going on in Wisconsin weather. You know, I know people call up and they ask us about records and things like that, and often that's the first thing that I turn to.
You got the records right there.
Got them right here. Just look them right up.
And you can have a copy of that book. It's yours for a $150 contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or by going online to WPR.org. We'd like to make our goal of this for this program, and you can help us do that with your contribution. And as you just heard from Steve Ackerman, it's a great book, and from somebody who, like myself, who is a novice in the weather area, it's easy reading as well, with some nice pictures and some excellent maps and a lot of data, but also very easy to read.
Indeed. So at 800-383-9772, your $150 pledge will get you Wisconsin's weather and climate, and will also get you the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card. And there are over 250 restaurants now that are part of the restaurants included on this card, two-for-one benefits available to you for the next year. And it also includes a number of two-for-one admissions to various arts and attractions. Let's suppose that you're in the Milwaukee area. You've got the Betty Brin Children's Museum and the Master Singers Milwaukee. In Elm Grove, the Sunset Playhouse, and at Brookfield, the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts. So two-for-one admissions, some restrictions maybe in some cases, but that's all spelled out in the book, and that's available to you when you make your pledge. $120 for the member benefit card, $150 get you the book and the card together, and then you could also pledge $1,200 and join Larry aboard the Cruise of Ideas on June 30th.
Captain Larry is here at your service.
Exactly.
For a $1,200 contribution, you can join me, you can join Gene Faraca, Joy Cardine, and a lot of other Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. There'll be about 50 listeners in all who will be on the boat. We've got a great lunch on the boat. I forgot to bring the menu with me, but I know there's like prime rib and chicken and all kinds of salads. And then we'll go to my place afterwards, and it's just a walk. You just walk, it's 100 yards or so. Over to our house, Renee will have prepared several great desserts. We'll have the wine will flow, maybe some beer and soft drinks.
Soft drinks.
And we'll have some contests. We'll have a little contest. We'll do a little Wisconsin Public Radio history contest this year. We've done several shows with about the history of Wisconsin Public Radio with Randall Davidson. And so probably take a few of those things and we'll have some fabulous prizes, and I'm losing my voice, Jim, so go ahead.
I'll go ahead and take over. And so the number to call is 800-383-9772, or you can go to WPR.org, and you can make your pledge there. I would also say that the cruise will include an opportunity for you to quiz Captain Larry, Gene, and Joy. And then I know that you're eligible to perform marriages aboard the boat. So in case, you know, that would be something you want the fireworks that night.
Then in more ways
than one.
Pledge
at 800-383-9772. And what better thing to have, you know, as your fellow Wisconsin Public Radio listeners there to help you with that ceremony.
Think summer. You know, that's what we're thinking. You know, summer is just getting underway then. It's just the 4th of July, kind of the 4th of July weekend in a way. And we want you to have a great time there. Jim and I have been doing this, we've been quite a few years now.
It has been.
But just this last year, we decided to go with the cruise boat, and that worked so well. We decided to, let's just do that again. And Joy was on board last year. And Gene Faraca said, hey, I want to get on board as well. So we'll be asking for your support at the $1,200 level for that cruise. And that's our thank you, really. You'll also become a member, by the way, of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM was the original
transmitter
for Wisconsin Public Radio way back
in about 1917.
Yeah, we weren't around then.
No, no, it wasn't long after for you, Larry. But, in its infancy, radio did provide you with education, because look at how many of us have been educated by Wisconsin Public Radio. It was piped into Lodi grade schools where Pop Gordon taught me to sing, and Ranger Mac, or his predecessor, maybe taught me about nature and outdoors. It was a wonderful resource. It's been around for such a long time, 1917, or so, 83, you know, 90 years we're celebrating. Yeah. So if you're looking for your pledge, maybe that's the hook. Maybe $90 is what you could afford. If you kicked it up a bit to $120, we would send you the member benefit card, which entitle you to go out and recoup the amount of your membership over the next year. Larry's done it several times over.
Now, I'm a 9XM member, and I can show you the secret handshake once you become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle in order to get it. We have some great meetings. There's some little extra things that happen when you become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, and you need to know that secret handshake if you're going to get into some of the meetings at least. So I can give you that, and I will do that at the cruise of ideas with myself and Gene and Joy. We hope you'll join us, and if we had a half a dozen callers on that 1200 level, we'd have our goal met for the hour, and we could move on to other things. But we haven't quite done that yet. And maybe you are one of those people saying, well, I can't go on the cruise, but I can afford $150. Call in right now at 1-800-383-9772. Something kind of neat. We heard from Sheila in Louisville, Kentucky, who phoned in a pledge. And I assume that Sheila, I'm not sure, but I assume that she listens online to the program.
Or if she's traveling in Wisconsin and used her cell phone and called us that way, she could be listening to any one of 15 Ideas Network stations, which are all paid for. All of this paid for. The 800 service and the web service are paid for in your phone calls to help us meet our goals. Our goal this hour is $8,000. We got a ways to go, and we would like you to help us out with your pledge right now. Just make a decision that I'm going to help Larry. I'm going to support Wisconsin Public Radio. I pledge because I enjoy the Ideas Network programming. And so I'll do that at 800-383-9772, or I'll go to WPR.org, and I'll make my safe, secure pledge right there.
And really, I hope you'll contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio because you enjoy the kinds of programs that we provide here between 11 and 12:30. Steve Ackerman and John Martin have been, how many years have you been doing this?
Since 97, at least.
97, so you're coming, a 10-year anniversary.
10-year, we're coming on 10 years.
10-year anniversary here. Steve's even written a little article.
Yeah, right, yeah. I gave a presentation about us at the AGU meeting, where Al Gore was, as a matter of fact. I didn't attract as many people, but almost.
Oh, he wasn't listening. He was another presenter.
Right, he was another presenter.
So anyway, Steve and John have been doing this for 10 years. We have other folks who have been on even longer.
That's right. Well, and we've had weather professionals for a long, long time.
Long, long time.
And we appreciate all of their services. But John and Steve have just been great. They've provided a real ability to provide a kind of a national and international feel to what's going on with weather systems. They're both very knowledgeable, communicate well, and we're very happy to have them. And they come along on the last Friday, the last Monday of each month at 11:45.
And sometimes Steve.
No, this one's 11 o'clock.
sometimes Steve has been elsewhere.
That's right, yeah. Well,
you've been in New York, I think.
New York and Hawaii. South Colorado, South Carolina, North Carolina.
You travel a lot.
That's what us weather guys do.
Get out there. Well, I'll tell you what, but he's always here on the last Monday of the month to provide you with great information about climate and weather. We have some more questions on that are coming up, and I know he's going to have answers to those. John Martin will be joining us pretty soon as well. But now it's your turn to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Call because you appreciate this program. Call because you appreciate the Ideas Network. When you call, you're going to feel great knowing that you're helping us achieve our goals and really to operate the station. I mean, it really is to the point now where with 30% or so of our dollars coming from you or people like you, we really try to come a few times a year to ask for that support, but we really need the support in order to keep our programming going at the levels that you've come to enjoy. It pays for the 800 numbers. It pays for some salaries. It pays for equipment. So the, you know, you
it
might
pays
be
for dues to National Public Radio, which are very, very high.
Very, very high.
It's several hundred thousand dollars to pay for dues to get Morning Edition and the newscasts and things like that. So these are significant numbers that we're paying for in this, and so that's why it's so important to get your call.
So you might think about it and think, well, let's see, if I paid $150, that would pay for one of Larry's microphones, or if I paid for...
And that's pretty cheap, $10 a month.
That's pretty, I tell you what, or $150, I could be buying a microphone, or maybe I could buy a couple of pairs of headphone sets, or maybe I would be helping to pay for that $800. I don't know how much our monthly is on that, but it's quite a bit of money every month, just so that anyone can call, and so that you don't have to pay a long distance charge. You can call, and there are people who can't afford really to make that long distance call. Well, you're kind of helping out those people who can't maybe afford to do that. Whatever circumstance you're in, we hope you'll call in with a contribution right now. Any amount is fine. As we've been saying, $150 will send you a copy of Wisconsin Weather and Climate. You'll become receive the member benefit card, and for $1,000 or $1,200, we'll send you on the trip. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
Larry, just to show you what a small world it is, one of the co-authors of this book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate, is Ed Hopkins. He's the assistant state climatologist to the state climatologist, who is our good friend Lyle Anderson, who is also the phone screener for What Do You Know? So Lyle and I have worked together for the last 21 years, and so he recommends this book as well very highly. And Ed's a likable guy. Joe Moran is also a likable guy. They're both from Wisconsin, so they've got a good appreciation.
So call in right now with your contribution at 800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And we'll be answering more of your questions coming up here on the Ideas Network. Talking weather and climate now with our guests, Steve Ackerman, professor and director of the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies, and also joined by Professor John Martin, chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. John, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Good to see you. I made it through the slush.
You made it through the slush?
Yeah. Feels good. It feels good to be here.
There's lots of slush out there.
It sure is.
Well, Dennis in Superior has been waiting a long time. By the way, if you want to join us, it's 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call if you have a weather or climate question. We'd love to hear from you. Dennis in Superior, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
One of the questions that I have was the severity of our summertime thunderstorms, is at least from what I've been able to see, and the severity has gone up quite a bit in the last 15 years. And one of the things that I noticed is these storms generally start mid-Iowa to central Iowa to central Minnesota almost on a daily basis when it comes in, when the formula is just right. And not so much further to the west, but just in that region, then they blow in and they blow into the, say, the Madison area, by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And what is the geographical, is there something geographical that causes this to happen on a somewhat routine basis during summertime heating?
Yeah, there is. And I wanted to ask you, Dennis, how do you measure severity? Is that by the number of trees down or buildings damaged?
Inches of water.
Okay, inches of water, okay.
And flash flooding.
Okay, so there's more actual accumulated precipitation, according to you. One of the things that happens in the summertime up in that region, Boundary Waters area or Minnesota and northwest Wisconsin, is that there's something known as anticyclonic flow, that is flow of the atmosphere that's clockwise as opposed to counterclockwise, which sets up in the summertime over that part of North America. And that gives us our really warm, hot days. But it also tends to produce conditions that are very, very favorable for the development of deep, long-lasting thunderstorms. We call that, colloquially, we call it the ring of fire, because when you're on that top part of that clockwise flow up there in the Boundary Waters or northwest Wisconsin area, you're going to really get hammered by continuous thunderstorms in that clockwise flow. We had a big snow here on Friday night, but we think may have had very similar kind of conditions underlying it. We had 6 inches of snow in a few hours, and so a real downpour of snow, probably a result, again, of this very intense clockwise flow that sometimes sets up in the wintertime, but it always sets up in the summertime. So I think there is a geographic reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, and I have to, and I must say that forecasters pretty much nailed this thing 5 days out.
This current snowstorm, you mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, they sure did. Thank you for saying that. That's good that people know that. It's exactly right.
Although I got to tell you, Ann and I were coming home from curling on Friday night, and we ended up in a blizzard.
The Friday night, well, yeah,
I thought it was going to be off for a few more hours than 10.
The
10
Friday night one was a bust, yeah. But that was
they
set
were
of
predicting it was coming. They just didn't hit the timing.
They were thinking 1 to 2 inches too, as late as Friday morning, and it turned out to be like 6 here in town.
Yeah. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
You bet. 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. We were talking about Joe Moran and Ed Hopkins' book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate, and one of the things they talk about in the book is that the Army Signal Corps banned the word tornado. Do you guys know anything about that? Have you read the book carefully enough that you can remember?
Yeah, and I remember them doing it, and their reason for doing it was for fear that the public would panic, which is really a shame because Lapham increased Lapham.
And
there was another guy, too, from Wisconsin who was starting to do research on the forecasting of tornadoes. But since they banned the word, that the things that they were learning about, improving forecasts and thus giving warnings, kind of just died away, and that led to some, possibly some deaths down the road in terms of not being able to give those warnings.
Huh.
But yeah, it was banned for like up until 1930, through the 1920s. Yeah, it was kind of odd.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think the word blizzard was banned at one point or another as well after the famous children's blizzards of 1888. Couldn't use that for a while because it was going to instill this sense of fear in people that they thought was hyped. So,
wow, I wonder if they should ban fair weather.
Right.
so nobody's doing anything outside.
Interesting, there was a time when the government wasn't interested in scaring you.
Right. Now they use those words routinely.
Right, yeah. Get the heck out of here.
Buses are closing down. Don't go out.
Right.
Well, it was amazing because as we looked at the forecasting was so right on. I mean, there were, as I went on television and watching kind of on the weekend, they were canceling church and all kinds of meetings and so forth, way ahead of the...
In fact, I thought for sure that friend of mine was having a party on Saturday night, and I figured he's very knowledgeable in weather, and I would have thought for sure... He would cancel his party, but no.
We had it anyway. It was a memorable event. But Larry, you're right. I remember thinking I was out to grill the chicken, which you missed. It was very good. And I'm out there at about 5:30, and I'm thinking, 6 o'clock is about the time I expect the first snowflakes to come, based on all the stuff that the government's able to put together in the forecast package, and that's exactly what happened.
Boy, yeah. I mean, we were sitting in the house saying, let's wait to see what it looks like at 6.
Perfect decision.
Right, and boom, started. We said, I guess we're not having chicken.
I heard that you handed snow shovels out to each person as they came through.
No, it's a lie. It's a disgraceful lie. I made nobody do any work at all. In fact, I had no help at all from my sick family shoveling the snow on the all weekend long. They were all down with something. It's too bad.
Well, as we look ahead here to the next month or so, and obviously 5 days, we're saying that was great. They could predict 5 days out. Are we going to get an earlier spring, or are we? What do you think is going to happen? Can't tell for sure, but
Well, there's another storm out in the Pacific off the Gulf of Alaska heading our way again too, to be here Thursday or
right.
so.
Right. That's the kind of forecast you can make in a more of a deterministic mode, which you can actually say with a fair degree of certainty that Thursday night and Friday is going to be stormy here, whether it's rain or snow. Is another issue. I'm not sure it matters too much for the southern part of the state which one we get. If it's an inch of rain with all these snow banks, there's tremendous flooding potential. Mm-hmm. And if there's another foot of snow, which is how much precipitation this thing looks like it's going to deliver, then that adds other kinds of problems to the community. But that kind of forecast you can make in the 2.5, 3, or 4 day range. But the kind you're asking about a month ahead, it's not even in the same category of forecasting. We don't take initial observations and use our sophisticated computer models and knowledge of how the atmosphere works to make a really deterministic forecast for a month downstream. We can do that for 3 days downstream, 5 days downstream.
Farmer's Almanac does it.
They do something.
Marilyn in Kansas Village, your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I'm in Central Racine County, and this weekend, just like everyone else, we had a variety of strange weather. But I was wondering, maybe you could explain to me something about what happened. I was awakened at 2:30 in the morning, and that would have been, well, it would have been Sunday morning. And the wind was very strong, and all of a sudden, our stereo radio came on and the computer came on, and they had both been off.
Wow.
Then I got up and turned them off and went back to bed, and then the lightning began, and it was very different. It was very vivid, and it lasted more than the instantaneous second that
right.
lightning happened.
Yep.
It lasted maybe a second or two. It was extremely bright, and sometimes it had a shade of green. And then, but there was no thunder.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had plenty of thunder.
Yeah, we had both.
Yeah, we had both. But, John, you want to...
I think part of what's going on, Steve, you probably can say some things about this, too. But I've noticed the same thing. When we get lightning and thunder in the wintertime, two things are very commonly the case. It's not as loud. The thunder isn't as loud.
Right.
And the sky seems to stay lit longer. And I think it's the sky staying lit longer is, I think it's just reflection off all the snowflakes in the sky.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. It's like turning your brights on when you're driving in
yeah,
a snowstorm.
Yeah, you've just got a bunch of mirrors to reflect that lightning, that burst of light. So that probably is part of the answer. And then also the snow maybe muffles the sound waves.
That's the thing I would say, too, particularly you know? The type of snow we had where it's just hanging in the trees and on everything, that just kills the propagation of the sound
yeah,
waves.
Yeah, it just doesn't bounce off objects the way it might in the summertime.
Yeah. And I would have guessed that when you said that your stereo and other thing went on, I was immediately going to ask if you had lightning in that area, because that would sound like, yeah. you know, every now and then lightning does strange things to our electronic equipment in our homes, and turning it on seems really odd, but
yeah,
I suppose it's possible.
It
it's either that or you got Schultz, which is an invisible
yeah, right.
guy who goes around and does things.
You don't want him. If you do have him, make him pay rent.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Well, this was so out of the ordinary that it was so strange that I was beginning to wonder, like,
no.
Are little green men going to be showing?
No. It was just and it was really it really was weird sounds. The thunder. It was loud.
Yeah, we had one loud one near our house, but even the loudness was muffled. It had a soft edge to it, and unlike the sort of sound, it sounds like a bowling alley in the summertime.
Huh.
You know, that really strong.
That's right, yeah.
You know, I know one sound that has a soft edge to it is the sound of Jim Packard's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Really, that's right. But I'll have a hard edge if we don't pick up the pace here and get a little bit closer to reaching our goals today. We have a goal in this half hour of $5,000, and we would like to invite you to make your pledge, make the decision right now to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and because you enjoy Larry Mueller's show on a regular basis, then support us at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. When you pledge $150, we'll be happy to send along Joe Moran's and Ed Hopkins' book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate. It's an overview of what past climate changes tell us about the future. It's for weather buffs, pilots, teachers, students, outdoor enthusiasts, anybody who's working outdoors or for whom the weather is a daily force to be reckoned with. It's on a level that the professionals can enjoy and understand, and it's certainly something that the lay people like Larry and I can read and understand and enjoy. So we'd like you to have your copy at $150 at 800-383-9772.
And Steve said he likes the book. He's, in fact, has two copies. John, you're familiar with the book?
I've read most of it, not all of it. But, yeah, it's a very good book. It's nicely put together. A lot of interesting stories about, you know, things like we were just talking about.
Yeah, and historical stories, too.
Right, I love that kind of stuff.
If you're new to Wisconsin, you should have this book.
And even if you're not new to Wisconsin.
Even if you're not, you should have it, too. But
that's yours for a $150 contribution. Someone called in with a $150 contribution. As a matter of fact, how about you at 1-800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. And don't forget, we could really be helped if we had about three or four people call in with a $1,200 contribution, and we'll put you on the cruise. You'll become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. We'll send you a member benefit card. I tell you what, that cruise, it'll be Joy and Gene and myself, will be touring Lake Monona. I actually have done a little history on Lake Monona, and I can provide a few facts while we're running around the running around the lake, as a matter of fact, about the history of the lake and how it relates to Madison itself. We'll do lunch on the boat, prime rib, chicken, all kinds of salads, and then we'll some drinks there, and then we'll go to my house, which is just a maybe it's a 100 or 200 yard walk from the boat landing to our home, where Renee will have put together some yummy desserts, and we'll have some more wine and some desserts and soft drinks and a big quiz, and everybody probably there is going to win a prize.
They usually do.
They usually do.
We make sure we bring enough prizes to cover everybody, so we try to take care of that eventuality. It's a great time, and the only way that you can get on the boat, though, is to call with your pledge of $1,200. You can pay $100 a month. You can use electronic funds transfer. It includes the member benefit card so that you can recover your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio over the next year with two-for-one dining benefits, two-for-one admission benefits at various attractions around the state. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Don't be left at the pier.
That's right.
We're looking at the boat floating off into the sunset. No, join us, and that's June 30th, by the way, that afternoon and early evening, and then there'll be time to go and watch the largest fireworks display in the Midwest. Will be on that particular evening. So that's a chance to have some fun doing that. But whatever the amount that you can afford, we hope you'll contribute, whether it's $1,200 or $50 or $150. Call in right now with your contribution. Jody in Green Bay called in with a contribution. Said she's been listening for many years and has contributed in the past. It's a great service, and she loves this particular program. And we hope you enjoy this program as well. You probably wouldn't be listening if you didn't like to hear from our weather guys, John and Steve. They do a great job coming by every month, the last Monday of the month, to talk weather and climate with you. And that's the kind of program, Jim, that we do try to do every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio during this 11 to 12:30 time slot.
We try to provide some learning and education in a humorous manner in which you are part of the entertainment and the education and the learning. So it's a lifelong learning process. It fits in with the mission of the university. We try to provide lifestyle information for you, for your health, for your family, for your home, for your pets, for your financial health. So these are things that we think are attractive to you. We spend Wednesdays usually on the environment. Friday we do gardening. Mm-hmm. The last Monday of the month we always come and find out what the weather guys have in store for us. And it's a very popular program. People call and ask, when are the weather guys going to be back with us again? So we're happy that they're here. And now to make this all complete, we're asking for your financial support to help us meet our goals, because the goals are paying for 30% of the program budget for Wisconsin Public Radio. And those goals include your calls right now at 800-383-9772. We've got money to raise and not much time to do it in, Larry.
And Jeff and Jill and Ripon phoned in with a contribution. They love Wisconsin Public Radio, and they like both the ideas side and the NPR classical music side as well. They couldn't imagine life without Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you could imagine life without Wisconsin Public Radio, but maybe you could. Maybe you really do enjoy what you're hearing. It's always fun for us to get phone calls from all over. We Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois. Certainly we've many calls from those states, but it's also not unusual to get a call from a place like California or Texas, because people are listening online. And if you missed a program, it's also pretty easy to go to WPR.org, and you can go back, go to Larry Mueller, and you'll see a picture of me, which is a younger picture. Oh, no, it was taken 30 years ago. No. But you can go online and listen to past programs as well. And, of course, all that gets paid for in part by your contribution. So that gives you an opportunity to call toll-free. It gives you the opportunity to go online and listen online or listen to a past program that you may have missed. All those things are part of the cost of running the station, and it's a cost that we hope you can help us bear. To do that, you need to call us at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org and call in with your contribution.
If you're wondering about the size of the average pledge, it's grown over the years to about $120 right now. And if you were to pledge $10 a month or $120, we'd be glad to send along the member benefit card. There are about 250 restaurants that offer two-for-one dining opportunities and a number of attractions and cultural events around the state that are included as well. So you could have the member benefit card for $120 pledge, or you could pledge $150 and get a copy of the book, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate, examining the physical features of the state that shapes the climate. It gives you sort of an overview of what's happened in the past as far as warming around the state and a hint of what to look forward in the future. So it's a very timely book as well, and it's highly recommended by our guests, Steve and John. It's Wisconsin's Weather and Climate. You get your copy at 800-383-9772 when you call and pledge.
And you only have 5 minutes to do that, because once the 5 minutes goes by, then we'll be at the end of the program, and that will be the last time we'll be offering book. We won't be offering it anymore. So it's your one opportunity to get the book. And we've had a few people who have called in at various times to get on the cruise. And so we've sold a few of those tickets. By the way, for a $1,200 contribution there, that's a pair of tickets. So you and a friend or a spouse, whoever you want.
That's right.
Me or John.
A spouse or a friend. Or if you want to take John or Steve along, you might talk them into going along with you as well. Because they have to contribute $1,200 too if they wanted to go on the trip.
That's right.
It's not,
pay as you go.
It's kind of pay as you go here. And pay as you go. Speaking of pay as you go, we're moving up a little bit here, but we need to go a little bit further in order to reach our goal of $5,000 for this hour. I'd love to see about two or three of those $1,200 contributions, but frankly, I'd be just as happy with your $150 contribution or whatever you can afford. A $150 contribution, if we put up about 50 of those, we'd be jumping up and down for joy right now. We need a blizzard of calls here. Right.
We would do cartwheels.
We need
I'm not sure about cartwheels.
We dancing on the table anyway.
We jump up and down. We're too old for those cars. Well, I think I could still do a cartwheel.
I'll tell you, after doing a lot of shoveling this weekend, I'm not able to do a cartwheel right now. But I will jump up and down.
I can jump up and down, too. And John and Steve will jump up and
down.
We'll all jump up and down. Should we try it once?
All right,
here we go. All right, we jumped up and down. That was for that last call. Now, what about yours? $150 contribution would be just wonderful at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Leslin and Tom and Peshtigo like this particular program because we talk about fun topics and we stay away from politics. Well, and we probably tend to do that because that gets covered in other programs, and that's not really our goal for this particular program.
No, that's not. And so we'll leave the current affairs that are going on outside of the environment. We pretty much want to make sure that we focus on that. But we'll leave that for Joy and for Ben for anybody else who wants to do that. But we've got a mission that we think fits our audience, that they're interested in the outdoors. They're interested in medicine and science and technology. They're interested in business and how to improve themselves, their health, their family's health, their pet's health. And if that seems like that would be interesting to you, then help us pay for the service right now at 800-383-9772. Or you can go to WPR.org where the pledge is secure, safe, and sound.
Now, we had a nice little jump there, but still a little ways to go, a couple $1,000s to go to meet our goal. You can help us do that. Got about a minute and a half to do it. So I'm going to ask you now, if you've been thinking about contributing, don't wait any longer. We've got a nice thank you gift for a $150 contribution, Wisconsin's Weather and Climate. That particular book, we'll be sending that off as soon as possible, and we will be very grateful knowing that you've helped support Wisconsin Public Radio. Call us at 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org. However you want to do it, that's fine. But now's the time to do it. We can still meet our goal here, and I've heard the phones ring a little bit.
And thank those people who are calling.
Yes, thank you very much. We look forward to your call as well. Thank you so much, and thanks to Steve and John. We'll look forward to your next visit the last Monday of the month. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Still a minute to go. We have to go away, but you still have time to call in now with your contribution. And thanks for listening.